Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for Saturday, May 18th, in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is our guide. And as you know, we reject revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. And as you know, every Saturday first hour, Sam Bushman launches into news the networks refuse to use. Liberty Roundtable Live week in review. I cover the whole week starting from last Saturday, second hour, all through the week through Friday, second hour. What do you call that? 5.5 days of hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips, if you will. That's right. Last Saturday, second hour, we talked about an action poll. Can Donald Trump beat Biden in 2020? It's a fair question, folks, especially when we talk about how expensive it really is. Donald Trump kind of melted down. First, run in 2016, Donald's like, hey, I'm not going to take the money from all the bundlers, from all the lobbyists, from all the swamp monsters. I'm different. I got my own money. Now, Donald, taking a page out of the playbook of George Bush. That's right. Donald Trump literally doubling down and taking plenty of money from bundlers, etc. This go round. Sad for Trump to turn on what he was so against before. But nevertheless, in this action poll, the question is, can Donald Trump beat Biden in 2020? They even asked the question, can Donald Trump beat Ocasio-Cortez or AOC in 2020? Now, AOC's not even old enough to run. The point really isn't, can he beat Biden? Can he beat Sanders? Can he beat Ocasio-Cortez? The question is, if he doesn't tap into big donor cash, big bundler money, can Donald Trump win? And when you understand what the final price tag is for the 2016 election, you kind of go, whoa. Yeah, it was $6.5 billion. That's for the presidential and congressional races combined. That's according to campaign finance watchdog OpenSecrets.org. $6.5 billion, ladies and gentlemen. That is a boatload of money, to say the least. The presidential contest, including the primaries, and all accounted for $2.4 billion. Dollars of that total. The other $4 billion or so went to congressional races. And so you think about that. Can the Donald win if he doesn't tap into that money? I mean, Donald might be rich, but Donald doesn't have billions to put in. And when you look at it and say, man, $2.4 billion just for the presidential race, including the primary, etc. Wow. And it's amazing. $2.4 billion, that means Donald Trump would have to raise at least, $1 billion. You might say, well, Sam, look, you know what? He spent less than the other guys last time. Yeah, Trump did win with half as much money as Clinton raised, according to Politico. That's true. But what's half of much of $2.4 billion? I mean, what if Donald had a third of that? What's that? $800 million? Almost $1 billion? And I don't know that Donald can do that again. He had a lot of outsider status before that he no longer has. Yeah, so Donald has to tap into this money or he's not going to win. Anyway, all I'm telling you is we talked about that in detail at the end of the first hour, last Saturday. And we talked about, Donald is dealing with the swamp and the swamp is absolutely brutal. And somehow, you're going to have to include the swamp somehow, or they're going to make sure you're gone. That was our One of Liberty Roundtable Live last Saturday. How relevant is that discussion as the Democratic contenders crank up? What do they have, 24-plus people now on the Democratic ticket, putting their, quote, hat in the rings to be president of the United States? Most of them don't have a chance on the green earth to make it, but nevertheless, they're all there. It's going to increase the cost of money spending. And they all got to start early, sad to say. The campaign season seems to be earlier and earlier and earlier every day these days. All right, we talked second hour, believe it or not, on Saturday to our guest. He normally joins us on Fridays, but I was out a week ago Friday. But so Saturday, the good sheriff, Richard Mack, was with me. TheFreedomCoalition.com, that's our effort to help innocents in prison. And the CSPOA.org, that's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Richard Mack is the president of that organization. I am one of his right-hand men. I'm one of the operations managers of the organization. Sam and Richard go and see the incredible movie, Breakthrough. It was a great movie, ladies and gentlemen. A movie inspired by John Smith's real-life miracle. It was delightful to go see. I'm really impressed with that movie, by the way. We also talked about the Neighborhood Alliance PAC. NeighborhoodAlliancePAC.com. Richard Mack highly recommends getting involved with that organization. It's about right to keep and bear arms and the defense and the arming of folks in public institutions to make sure that we don't get abused. We talked about the Highland Ranch school shooting. One dead, two suspects, says NPR. The school shooting leaves one dead and I guess eight injured. So there's two suspects, one dead, eight injured, according to the New York Times and National Public Radio and others. We also talked about, do you believe in miracles? We talked about the Cokeville Miracle, another movie. It was a great movie, too. Very, very sad in what happened there, but very, very, very faith-filled. Filled with hope. Filled with solutions. Filled with protection. And a desire for people to make a difference. It's quite impressive, that movie, Cokeville Miracle. Also, the movie Breakthrough. There's a lot of good movies coming out, folks. I know there's a lot of bad movies, too. There really are a lot of bad movies, but there are a lot of good movies and a lot of good people doing a lot of good things, folks. There really are. There's a lot of people working together that would surprise you. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints even working with the NAACP, which at first glance you go, what on earth? But you know what? There are good people within the NAACP who do truly want to not create and foment the race war. They want to actually solve things and improve things and make things better. And the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints working alongside the NAACP to make that happen. And at first glance, you go, man, the NAACP is an evil group and they're bad and they're this and they're that. And they're, well, you know what? It all comes down to who's who, what's what. It's very hard to judge people's hearts. But, you know, there's a lot of people in the organization that mean well and are doing a good job. You know, it reminds me of, you know, the Planned Parenthood scenario where you just say, man, the whole thing's just horrible, get rid of it. Well, it is. I mean, it's an evil doctrine, an evil idea to murder babies. The NAACP, though, has potentially a good mission to advance color people, to advance people and create equality, and you know, those are good goals. A lot of the bad actors run it off the rails, no doubt, but I look at Abby Johnson. You know, she was in the abortion industry. She was one of the leaders there for a while. And then she had an epiphany, an understanding of what she was doing and how wrong it was and how, hey, the organization's not doing what was intended. And so she changed, and now she's been a strong pro-life advocate, right? I mean, she was one of the leaders in the movie called Unplanned, which has been taking the country by storm to educate on how evil and tyrannical and abusive and hostile and hate-filled and murderous the abortion mills really are. States across the country are starting to get it. It's great news. It's a real step in the right direction, I tell you what. So anyway, that's good news. Good news that good people are doing good things and people are coming together and people are starting to, in their hearts, have to choose between good and evil, right and wrong. And more of this calling good evil and calling evil good is going away. Because people are starting to see the truth, the gap between the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the Christian and the non-Christian, the believers and the non-believers, whatever, you know, you want to talk about. The divide's getting greater. The chasm's getting bigger, if you will. And people are starting to understand, hey, this culture war is for keeps. This is not a game. This is just not fun and games. This is serious, serious business. And more people are understanding that. So later in the broadcast, second hour, I'm going to play a speech from a Catholic gentleman who really, really has done a wonderful job highlighting the point that I'm trying to make. I've had a clarion call for civility for quite some time out there. This guy goes way beyond the civility point and makes even a better point. And he's a Catholic speaking to a bunch of members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints at Brigham Young University. Anyway, we'll get into that later in the broadcast. But that was Saturday's recap. Last week, on Monday, of course, we had our guest on, Mr. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, ronpaulinstitute.org, or his websites. And we talked about the Supremacy Clause smackdown. And we talked about the reality here. This is an important thing to understand, constitutionally speaking. You know, there's a myth out there that the general government is absolutely supreme and nothing can cross it. That's a lie. It isn't true. You want the truth? The general government is supreme, but only, let me say that again, but only within its enumerated and delegated powers. And it does not have veto authority over state laws at all, folks. Do you understand that? Look, the federal government is supreme within its delegated and delegated authority and enumerated powers. It doesn't have the right or authority and a veto over state laws except for in its jurisdictional boundaries. Anyway, we talked about Ron Paul. And Ron Paul asks a wise question. Is President Trump about to invade Venezuela? We pray the answer is no. Quick pause. I'm Sam Bushman. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate and get involved today, would you please?
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there? And that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. Whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It ain't gonna happen, by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
So Ron Paul, well-known former congressman of the state of Texas, asks a very poignant question. Hey, is Donald Trump going to invade Venezuela? I pray the answer is no. But I'm telling you, how ironic that the war hawks surrounding the president of the United States, such as Mike Pompeo and others, there's neocons, there's war hawks everywhere in the Trump administration. And it's very strange that they're ready to attack Venezuela to restore their constitution, they claim, right? But here's the question. They couldn't care less about our own constitution. After all, our own constitution would suggest that we should leave the war powers to Congress, not to the president at all, and that we should not go invade or involve ourselves in Venezuela at all. We need to have a humble foreign policy, as George Washington did, as Ron Paul and I and others advocate for now. We got to reject this hawkish agenda. Speaking of that, we've got so many war fronts in America these days, it's amazing. We're in over 130 nations, militarily speaking. We train and arm and fund more war around the world than any other nation, bar none. Oh, yeah, it's out of control, folks. I'll tell you what. So not only is Venezuela a concern, but what about Iran? Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com. He has incredible weekly commentary on a troubled world and insights into solutions and more. But Joel Skousen says U.S. and Israel fomenting war with Iran. The decade-old globalist goal of attacking Iran is finally going to happen fairly soon. I pray Joel's wrong. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, we have globalist goals. The United States, the leader in globalist goals, with a goal of remaking the Middle East, which Iran opposes, folks. But think about what the United States wants to do and what Iran wants to oppose. Are you ready? There's three primary things, or four. Number one, quote, create continual military conflict. We're trying to do that. Why? Well, the answer is because we have the petrodollar, and we've got to manipulate. We've got to force nations to stay tied to oil and the dollar, the U.S. dollar around the world, even though nations don't want to. We're going to create military conflict to insist they do so. It's a shame, folks. Number two, they want to create a steady flow of Muslims and Muslim refugees in Europe so as to dilute and destroy Western culture. Yeah, create continual war and destroy the culture. Three, we want to control oil resources. And four, justify a steady flow of military aid and resources to Israel. We shouldn't be providing military aid to Israel or to other nations for that matter. It is a very rare circumstance when we find that America really needs to be involved in other nations. I'm telling you, it's a very rare occasion and a very fine line in doing so. We don't need to fund and train and arm nations around the world to protect America. We just don't need to. You say, Sam, aren't there exceptions? Yeah, there are, but they're very limited in scope, and they should not be vested in a single man like President Trump with too much power. It is intended by the supreme law of our land, the Constitution, for the war powers and those decisions about where to be and when and how and why and what to be the House and the Senate together, the House controlling the purse strings, and then the people understanding and having a broad agreement to go to war or to be involved at all before we ever do so. That's why it was designed to be in Congress. So we talked about an article on Monday with Lowell Nelson. Mr. White writes an incredible article at lourockwell.com, and we talked about the United States is just the big bully around the world, and the blowback is going to be tremendous. Other nations are just absolutely sick of our behavior. Mr. White refers to 198 around the world meddlings, coups, assassinations, regime changes, I kid you not, invasions, and war since World War II. Did you hear me? Listen to this. Mr. White refers to 198 meddlings, coups, assassinations, regime changes, and wars since World War II. Why are we involved in regime changes, invasions, and wars? Why do we do that? Because we got to protect the petrodollar. Now that we've gone off the constitutional gold standard, we got to do something to stabilize our currency. We are facing endless war, ladies and gentlemen, on one hand, and a collapse of the dollar on the other. Which will occur first, and what impact will it have on you and your life? That's the question. That was 1 hour on Monday. Incredible hour. With our buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. I'll tell you what, it was great, great talk radio. Last Monday, the broadcast is still available if you're interested at libertyroundtable.com. Free, but if you have the heart to help, donate today, would you please? All right, we talked to our guest, Mr. Scott Bradley, second hour on Monday. To Preserve the Nation is his collegiate series on constitutional education. And he has a website called freedomsrisingsun.com in which you can check out his weekly webinars, Q&As, and more. Just tremendous stuff. freedomsrisingsun.com, Dr. Scott Bradley. And we talked to him about China strikes back. Tariffs on U.S. goods to rise June 1st from, what, 10 to 25% on many products, and then to broaden the product list big time. If this goes through, it's going to be a disaster. Now, let me be very clear. Donald Trump says that China will be hurt very badly by tariffs. He's right. So will we, though. Trump to U.S. companies, you got to make products at home. I think Donald's onto a great idea, but with all the regulation and all the red tape and all the control of money by governments, it's going to be very difficult to do that, Donald. You got a great idea. But unless you add these tariffs and lower taxes elsewhere, it's going to be a disaster. But President Trump does do a good thing in that he is eliminating job-killing regulations, and that is the start of what needs to happen for sure. Want to make money? Work for the government. Terrence Jeffries brings that detail out, that, hey, some of the best jobs are in government these days, and that ought not be the way it is. He's right about that reality check. But I bring this up because, look, I am for tariffs, folks. I am absolutely pro-tariff. But understand that the word tariff does not appear in the Constitution. Understand that they use the term excise taxes. They use import duties. They have all kinds of other words for it, but it comes down to a tariff. And there is a legitimacy. There is a legitimacy for the United States of America, folks, to have tariffs. We support constitutional tariffs at Liberty Roundtable Live, folks. But understand that Mr. Bastier, who wrote the law, wrote a great economic parable exposing the absurdity of tariffs at the local level. So that's kind of important to understand. Rand Paul warns Donald Trump on China tariffs and tells you how disastrous it'll be if we push on these. Now, I'm not against tariffs. I'm for tariffs. Bastier sounds like he's against tariffs. But in my mind, the issue is we need to consistently challenge President Donald Trump's executive power. Rand Paul has been doing it for a while, but the media hasn't noticed. Senator Paul says, I've been consistent in saying that no president should be king, including my president. He is right on. So I support tariffs, but I also support Congress being involved in this, not just the president. Tariffs in the beginning are the excise taxes and the duties and the, okay? These taxes were designed to be dealt with by Congress, not the president. And over time, we've simply transferred that authority to the president like we've done with the war powers. It's disastrous when the president has that much authority and Congress, our elected legislative representatives, are sidelined. It is disaster. So that's the first pushback that I would give. The second pushback that I would give is I'm 100% pro-tariffs, but I'm for lowering taxes on the American people. Right now, what Donald wants is high tax on the American people and then add tariffs on top of it. It's going to be a disaster. So I am for tariffs, but you got to get rid of the other unconstitutional taxes and regulations along the way if you're going to be successful. Now, I'm also for tariffs, but I'm for the proper use of tariffs. When are tariffs designed and used properly? It's when they literally have an agenda of creating a level playing field, encouraging competition, and stifling or shutting down governments that don't play by free market rules. So the goal of government should be to make a level playing field, to create competition. In other words, to create a stable, honorable circumstance where competition can flourish and to honor contracts and to get out of the way. But if the government uses tariffs as a weapon or, uses tariffs too liberally, then it's going to backfire. So I'm pro-tariffs, but I am the proper use of tariffs. And I think that's where we need to be very, very, very careful indeed. All right, that's a recap of Monday's broadcast. All we've done is Saturday and Monday, and half the broadcast is over. Wow. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to crank it out. We got a lot to cover. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, always at your fingertips. This is Liberty Roundtable's Live's News the Networks Refuse to Use, Week in Review. What a crazy amount of news we cover, huh? Constitutional commentary and more. Educational opportunities. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Missouri's governor says he will sign a bill passed by lawmakers which outlaws abortion after 8 weeks. There's no exception for rape or incest. Republican Congresswoman Mary Elizabeth Coleman attacked the reason she says women have abortions.
It is saying that if I don't have the ability to kill my child, that I as a woman cannot obtain whatever dreams and beliefs I may have. It's saying that my economic opportunities will be limited if I do not pay that price with the blood of my child.
But Democratic State Rep. Barbara Washington says the bill takes away a woman's right over her own body.
This bill is not about pro-life. I am a woman. It is my body. It is my choice.
Missouri is the fifth state to pass a restrictive abortion bill. This is USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis plans to fight a federal plan to fly hundreds of immigrants from the Mexican border to South Florida counties. DeSantis said the state's legislature had passed a bill outlawing sanctuary cities, and also,
we're going to work with them to help them, you know, remove criminal aliens. We're not going to be like some of these other states that are not allowing, you know, federal authorities to come into a jail or a courthouse. So we've been very cooperative.
But he said Florida cannot accommodate just dumping unlawful immigrants into the state. President Trump is insisting that reports of arguments with his national security team over the situation in Iran is not true. He pushed back against the report that he privately expressed concerns that his advisors were trying to steer him into a war with Iran.
Mike Pompeo's doing a great job. Bolton's doing a great job. It's bull, okay?
You're listening to USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
And I am Sam Bushman, ladies and gentlemen. News the networks refuse to use, Week in Review. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. We finished Saturday and Monday. Tuesday, we talked about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They issued a statement opposing the Equality Act currently before Congress, while providing, quote, extremely broad protections for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender rights. The Equality Act provides no protections for religious freedom, the statement said. No protections for religious freedom. The point is the balance is out of whack. Can we be fair? Can we battle and bundle that in a way that makes sense? The legislation, ladies and gentlemen, does not meet the standard of fairness for all. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is contending that, hey, this thing would strip free, key religious freedom protections. The Equality Act would threaten religious employment standards, devastate religious education, and defund numerous religious charities. I mean, this thing is disaster, folks. In fact, the Southern Baptist Convention and the Roman Catholic Church, along with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, three world religious organizations that are rejecting and opposing this measure. Well, that was before this, hit the House. It was only in committee, and it passed the committee, and people thought, oh, no big deal. It's not going to go anywhere. Well, now it already passed the House. What will the Senate and what will Donald do? Time will tell, but I'm telling you, this is getting more traction than people could imagine. And I've literally highlighted this reality you know what? Can we stop this stuff? You know what? We're talking about gay rights, free speech, and religion in the culture war, right? Can we fight back? Are we going to be able to, well, are these rights going to be able to coexist? In other words, can religion versus gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender rights coexist? And I think the answer is no. Why do I say the answer is no? Because I don't see it. The gay, lesbians, bisexual, transgenders will not let it happen. I'll give you an example. Anti-Chick-fil-A officials scramble to cover their tracks. WorldNet Daily reports the details. And so you've got a situation where, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the Baptists and the Catholics and a lot of groups are saying, hey, wait a minute, this isn't fair. Let's go back to the drawing board. Let's make it fair. Let's not gut religion rights on the altar of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender rights. Let's come to the table and find something in the middle that's fair to all. And they're literally saying no. Uh-uh. They're pushing for legislation that's very hostile. And so I don't believe the two can exist, not because they couldn't exist, but because the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender lobby will not allow them to exist. And we can capitulate all we want to, but we're going to lose when we do. Now, I'm all for being kind and polite and respectful, but I'm not for caving on these fundamental religious liberties that we must politely but insistently defend. Let me say that again. We must politely but insistently defend our positions. All right, we talked about Amazon. Quit your job, they say, if you work for Amazon, and they'll help you start a business delivering packages. It's kind of a weird deal, but they are. I believe that Amazon is predatory, and I believe they will eventually squeeze everybody on every front. That's just the nature of what they do. Walmart, though, competing with Amazon quite well, rolling out next day delivery on its most popular items, increasing the stakes in the, quote, retail shipping wars. So you got that going on. You got iPhone owners that are now allowed to sue Apple over the App Store Supreme Court rules. CNET magazine with the details on this one. And this is a big deal. Because what it means is, hey, what the idea is this. Hey, you know what? Apple's been predatory. They've been taking 30% of everybody's revenue for a long time. It's a massive piece. They've been controlling the outcome of what apps appear on their stores for a long time. It's very predatory. And now judges are saying you can sue Apple over it. We'll see what happens. Apple's going to have to probably pay dearly, is my guess. All right, we talked about WhatsApp. That is the communications app owned by Facebook, right? Well, WhatsApp says they had a vulnerability in their software that let mobile phones be infected with sophisticated spyware. So you got WhatsApp, the Facebook derivative, literally admitting it. And WhatsApp says the attack had all the hallmarks of a private company known to work with governments to infect phones. Did you hear me? WhatsApp says a private company worked with governments to intentionally infect phones via our WhatsApp software application. The Financial Times, believe it or not, doubled down in this reporting and identified the company last Monday as Israel's NSO group, whose Pegasus software is known to have been used against rights activists. Now, here's the reason that I speak out on this. I told you forever that I support the biblical Israel, but I do not support this rogue agent government Israel that's partnering with these NSO group private companies that are literally infecting phones with spyware and compromising Facebook's derivative WhatsApp to do it. That isn't the biblical Israel that we should be backing, folks. That's a criminal government in bed with the private sector to literally infect your devices. Anyway, WhatsApp says, don't worry. They've fixed it with a patch, upgrade ASAP. So if you're using WhatsApp, upgrade ASAP, would you please? Anyway, what a disaster. Now, they attack Donald Trump of being a racist all the time and hating everybody and all this stuff. But man, where's the mainstream press documenting when Donald works together with people, huh? Donald hosts, and they call this an iftar dinner. Is that how you say it? Anyway, a dinner for Ramadan. Condemns New Zealand mosque attacks. So this is an example where Donald's doing a great job, but the mainstream press just simply chooses not to cover it. Sad when they manipulate the news like that, isn't it? All right, we talked about Joe Biden. He says there's not a single bit of evidence that his son asked him to help me in the help in the Ukraine. So there's a big scandal with Joe Biden, his son, and involvement in the Ukraine. Wow. We also talked about a D.C. area radio station told to register as Russian agent. That's a weird story. Yeah, the radio station literally being kind to Trump and talking about things and then taking some advertising from the Russians. And so now they say, you got to register as a Russian foreign agent. Well, then Congress needs to register as a Russian foreign agent as well, because Congress has been taking bribes and compromise and communications with and involvement with the Russians for decades, folks. Anyway, that was incredible. 1 hour of hard-hitting talk. Second hour, we talked to our guest and personal good friend, Mr. Alan Phillips. And Alan Phillips is a well-known vaccine rights attorney. VaccineRights.com, PandemicResponseProject.com are his two incredible websites. Anyway, it turns out that North Carolina attorney Alan Phillips faces additional jail time for maintaining attorney-client privilege, protecting his client's files. Please help our good friend and vaccine rights attorney, Alan Phillips, Ohio. AMF.org is where you can do that. OhioAMF.org, our prayers are with Alan. Alan did provide documents ordered by the courts, but the NC or North Carolina bar claims inadequate. Judge throws Alan in jail for the for two more days. And then he's supposed to have a, Alan Phillips has the next court hearing May 20th, 2019. So in 2 days, our prayers are with our buddy Alan Phillips for sure. For that. Wow. That's just scary. Anyway, we'll keep an eye on that ball just for you. Alan Phillips. The question is, will the judge find Alan Phillips in contempt of court again? Send him back to jail? I hope not, but predict yes. They're hostile and hate-filled, and they're violating the law at every turn with a conflict of interest and illegal actions. There is no due process for our poor buddy Alan Phillips. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp signs heartbeat bill abortion into law. Does a phenomenal job there. More heartbeat abortion bans advancing in the South and the Midwest. Believe it or not, the Salt Lake Tribune seeks to become a nonprofit, quote, community asset, a first for a community newspaper, they say. Wow. So that's a recap of Tuesday's hard-hitting broadcast. Man, we cover a lot of news, people, I'm telling you right now. On Wednesday, we talked about the Alabama House and Senate bans nearly all abortions, and the governor did sign. Georgia's new heartbeat bill doing a great job. Alabama doing a great job. Missouri's the latest. We'll talk about that too and more. Alyssa Milano proposed a sex strike. Yeah, to oppose the Georgia law. And anyway, I mean, these people are crazy. They're unhinged over abortion rights, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels,
in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
So some women are proposing a sex strike to try to get back at Georgia and Alabama for passing pro-life legislation and for the governors there signing that legislation. In fact, Evan Rachel Wood suggests that men get mandatory vasectomies in response to the Georgia heartbeat law. I mean, these people are just unhinged. In fact, one actress just decided to get naked to protest. I'm not so sure how that helps, but nevertheless, that's what's going on. On Friday, and I'm mixing up the news a little bit. On Friday, because I'm talking about this abortion issue, so I'm jumping ahead to put things in perspective. Seven states passed bills with widely varying limits with a goal of challenging Roe versus Wade. Abortion, they say, is legal in all 50 states, but 43 states prohibit abortions after a certain point during pregnancy. Yeah. So that's going on. We talked as well about what is the best state in the union. And according to U.S. News and World Report, it's the state of Washington. But Kurt talks about a Seattle trash map that highlights the city of Ballard that's not too nice place to live, I guess. It's full of trash and needles and drug use and all kinds of weird stuff. Anyway, I have a different criteria than news or U.S. News and World Report and a different criteria than most of these organizations. You know what? I want to be with my people. You say, what do you mean your people, Sam? Look, my people are Christian people. My people are family-oriented people. My people are all about God, family, and country. I don't care what religion they are. But I am about God, family, and country. And I get that, you know what, people have different beliefs, and I accept those beliefs. But I want to be around people that have like-minded views as I do. And believe it or not, the South and some of the Rocky Mountain states are the only places where really consistently they have my views in mind. Now, there's some states in the Northeast that have some conservative out-in-the-country areas. But statewide, they're very liberal and extreme indeed. I'll give an example. A new headline says U.S. births fall to the lowest rate since 1980s. U.S. birth rates fall to the lowest level. There's a big concern that we're not even replacing ourselves, folks. See, that goes against my fundamental beliefs. I believe God tells us to multiply and replenish the earth. And the idea that we're not even replacing ourselves concerns me greatly. Greatly. So, see, I'm all about God, family, and country. And you know what? I don't need to go into the keys to theology and focus on the differences that we may have. But I want to focus on people who believe in God and his Ten Commandments, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want to focus on people who believe in the traditional God-ordained family. Anyway, we talked about, in contrast to what I'm advocating for, these revolutionary communists. Yeah, they're descending on UCLA, folks. They're advocating an overthrow of the system. Did you see this news? The Revolutionary Communist Party, USA Today, I'm sorry, the Communist Party USA. So it's the Communist Party of the United States of America, literally distributed manifestos at UCLA and featured displays at the University of California at Los Angeles. And the group called for the formation of what they call organized fighting forces, claiming they must be ready to continually train and deploy. They're pushing for the overthrow of our government, and no one seems to be even bringing up the point. Now, Kirk, an incredible author, highlights something important. Donald Trump's greatest show of power lies in his reluctance to use power. I think there's some validity to that, and I commend Donald Trump whenever he shows restraint for our supreme law. I'm concerned with certain things, though. The border, tariffs. I think Donald's acting a little bit too dictatorial, folks. Why? Because I believe there's checks and balances, and Congress has a role. Rand Paul and others are warning about that as well. We don't have a king in America, and we pray we never will. All right, we talked about three Florida radio stations that vow to broadcast Donald Trump's speeches daily all the way through to the end of the 2020 election cycle. These people are pro-Trump big time. Why they say their radio stations were destroyed in the hurricanes? Donald Trump's response was so tremendous that they want to pay back, support the president. You know what? I commend them. Like, a radio station has the right to support the president if they want to. And believe it or not, in the mainstream press, you got well over 90% negative coverage for the Donald, right? Yeah, the mainstream press just hates President Trump and 90% negative coverage. Now, I would come back and say, well, at least it's coverage. Donald doesn't care what kind of coverage as long as it's coverage. And there's some truth to that. Donald wouldn't even be president if they didn't give him so much coverage. Nevertheless, I am interested in a little bit of more balanced coverage, to say the least. You know, Fox had an idea, we report, you decide. I wish they would do more of that. That's just a slogan, not a reality for Fox. But it's a great idea, and it makes the point about the media. We talked about Montana's governor. Guy's name is Steve Bullock. And he jumped into the Democratic field running for president. He makes number 22 since he jumped in. A couple of more have as well. There's like 24, 25 people running now on the Democratic ticket to be president. How many will it get to before it narrows? We also talked about a $2 billion verdict against Monsanto. It turns out that their Roundup, you know, weed chemical thing. Well, it turns out that, hey, that weed killer, Roundup, causes cancer, and they had to pay out $2 billion. And there's just lawsuits getting started now. They're paying out big, big, big money, folks. We talked about tariffs. The taxes that made America great. An incredible column by Patrick J. Buchanan. Again, I'm pro-tariffs, folks. Let's be clear. But I'm for using tariffs for the proper purpose to support constitutional limited government with checks and balances and to pay for that government. So if we're going to put a bunch of tariffs on top, that's great, but we need to reduce the unconstitutional taxes and regulations, or else it won't work. I support tariffs completely if they're used properly, wisely, to promote competition, to stabilize the free market, to stop foreign nations from dumping their products and government subsidies of their products violating free market principles, and to pay for the proper role of constitutional limited government. I support the tariffs. I'm afraid Donald's going too far, though. He's turning tariffs into a political weapon, which I think he ought not do. Good news, believe it or not, in San Francisco, I know that sounds like crazy town, but it's true. San Francisco supervisors voted to ban the use of facial recognition software by police and other city departments. It's great news. Anyway, we talked about Alibaba. That's Alibaba. It's like the big, you know, Amazon in China equivalent. Anyway, Alibaba's founder, Jack Ma, urges his employees and their partners to have sex marathons every day and to promote group weddings. And at first glance, it sounds like Jack is just promoting perversion. But when you really read the article, Jack's advocating for children and marriage and a lot of good things. So they love salacious headlines. But the truth is, Jack's pushing for a lot of things that we would, which is marriage between a man and a woman, welcoming children to that marriage, etc. All right, on Thursday, we talked about today, that was Thursday, mind you, the third Thursday of May, we invite you to help us mark the 8th Global Accessibility Awareness Day. Yeah, Global Accessibility Awareness Day.org. GAAD is what it's called. And the idea is, hey, can we in the private sector help people with accessibility issues online, on the web, digitally? And the answer is we can. We ought not get government involved, but we can do a tremendous job there, and we should. And we highlighted that reality, that it is an opportunity to make people aware, to really make small changes that can make a tremendous difference. We don't want it to be government controlled, because that punishes small business and regulations become onerous and disastrous. Nevertheless, educating and highlighting this reality in the private sector is a good idea. We talked about Louis Gohmert. He says this came very close to being the first successful coup in the United States. Well, I don't agree it's the first, but I agree that the Democrats were truly reaching for something, trying to reject the Electoral College and upend the affairs of the nation. What a tragedy. Louis Gohmert, congressman of Texas, is right. We also talked about Jeanine Pearl, well-known talk show host. Judge Jeanine says claims of a constitutional crisis because they're not releasing the Mueller report, totally bogus. Laughable. And she's right. We also talked about a drug cartel boss from Colombia pleads guilty to bribing U.S. federal agent with cash and prostitutes. Wow. Hans von Bukowski, he says the FBI should be looking into Hunter Biden's billion-dollar deal with China. He's right. That's where Joe Biden says, I never helped my son with this. But he did help his son, Hunter. And nothing in Washington's official until it's been denied. Kind of an idea. I mean, this is crazy town, and it should be looked into. But I don't have a lot of confidence they'll look into it. Do you? We talked about murders on Texas soil linked to Mexicans' Gulf drug cartel, says the FBI. Wow. Donald Trump said the Fed's gone crazy and is going loco. Trump says the economy would take off like a rocket ship if the Fed would drop the rates. Well, Donald should be anti-Federal Reserve entirely because it's unconstitutional and because it allows banking cartels to create fake money in America. Dishonest is all get out. We need honest money. But Donald's only criticizing the Federal Reserve when they don't do his bidding. I don't want the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates and let the economy take off like a rocket ship. What I want to do is abolish the Fed and let the economy take off like a rocket ship with honest money. Trey Gowdy is goofy. He's now not in government, but he offers a tip for those who are investigating the Russian probe. Look at Brennan and Comey's emails, he says. And my response is, we've been looking at emails forever, folks, and it ain't doing much good. Connecticut radio station, WDRC, rebrands itself as Trump 103.3 in ultra-conservative talk format, they claim. Well, not as conservative and hard-hitting as Liberty Roundtable Live, I'll tell you that right now. Alabama's governor, great news, signs the most stringent abortion legislation in the nation, making performing an abortion a felony in most cases. Governor Kay Ivey, great lady there, says to the bill's many supporters, this legislation stands as a powerful testament to Alabama's deeply held belief that every baby is a precious gift from God. Every life is a precious gift from God. Amen. The bill's sponsors want to give conservatives on the Supreme Court a chance to get rid of pro-death nationwide. We also talked about liberals could not be more irate about it. This bill is not about ending abortion in Dixie. It's about ending abortion, period. Amen. Jim Jordan urges Democrats to release, quote, coordination agreement to attack Donald Trump. And my question is, when does that border on treason and insurrections to create a coordinated deep swamp agenda to attack the president of the United States, huh? We talked about Kelsey Grammer. He did a great job in praising Trump for accomplishing what Washington clowns couldn't get done in over 50 years. Wow. Good for Kelsey Grammer. Representative Mo Brooks doing a great job as well, speaking out on the abortion ban in Alabama, saying, hey, the state of Alabama is exercising its 10th Amendment rights. Amen. We also talked about an article from Ann Coulter. These are real high crimes. She's talking about marijuana, like getting high crimes. It's a play on words, but it's very clever. And she talks about basically that, hey, you know what? When people get high on pot, they literally commit all kinds of severe, hostile, hate-filled crimes. She highlights that concern in America. All right, hour one in the can. I got Friday a little bit of news the networks refused to use to finish up. I got an incredible speech to play from a Catholic speaking at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints College, Brigham Young University, with an incredible message, okay? Liberty Roundtable Live, I'm Sam Bushman. This nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.